A few years ago, Tim Cole, the former UK ambassador to Cuba, gave a newspaper interview in which he outlined the challenges of the job. He said, "The real skill for the diplomat overseas is to be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes, understand their perspective, read between the normally blurred lines, spot and tackle the flaws in their argument, ideally share interests, common grounds, and any policy implications, and then relay all of this back to the department in London in a short email." No pressure then. I'm sure we would all find being in this situation really challenging. The job of an ambassador is to be a permanent representative in a foreign country. An ambassador works out of an embassy, which is in effect a part of the country that he or she is representing. The ambassador takes a little bit of their own country with them wherever they go. What did Tim Cole say he thought he was doing in Cuba? "I try to meet as many Cubans as possible, either face to face or through social media, and tell them about the UK, what we stand for, what we believe in, what makes the UK special." In this passage, Paul says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are the people who show the world what Jesus is all about. We are the people through whom God tells the world that he longs for them to be reconciled with him. And that's every bit as challenging as being a diplomat in a foreign country. So how did we get this job? What on earth entitles us to the role of being ambassadors for God? Paul is quite clear about that. We are people with a different outlook because we've been born again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We are citizens of another country, the kingdom of God. So we, like that man representing the UK in Cuba, have the right to show the world and our country what our king is like. Peter, in his first letter, says that he's writing to God's elect, strangers or exiles in the world. He's not just talking about the fact that Christians have been scattered by persecution right through Asia Minor. His words mean that they are foreigners living in one place and belonging to another. If we are new creations because we've accepted what Jesus has done for us and own him as Lord, then this world isn't our final home. We live under the rule and the kingship of God himself. So I think the first thing we have to ask ourselves as we come to this passage is, are we qualified to be an ambassador? Do we have the right to represent Jesus to the world around us? Earlier this year, I travelled to another part of the country to attend the funeral of my late father's cousin. When I got there, I met a lot of people who were related to me, but whom I had never, or very seldom at least, seen. I was representing my part of the family, my elderly aunt who couldn't travel, my sister and her family, even in a way my father, who would have been so pleased that I'd gone along. I explained to my various second and third cousins who I was and what I was doing there. Absolutely, I had the right to represent my family, a right of birth and of kinship. We can represent Jesus to those around us if we have the right of new birth. If we can tell what Jesus has done for us because we've met him and invited him into our lives, then we have the qualification of ambassador. We can show him to the world because we can say, as Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In Acts 18, we read about a man called Apollos who travelled to Ephesus and began to teach about Jesus in the synagogue. He spoke well, but he hadn't got it quite right. He only knew about the baptism of John. In other words, he didn't understand about the conversion experience, about accepting Jesus, and about being baptized to symbolize that your sins are forgiven and you're born again. When Priscilla and Aquila, that's two of Paul's friends and fellow workers, heard him, they invited him to their home and explained the way of God more adequately. So if we're going to speak about what it means to follow Jesus, then we do need to know what we're talking about by personal experience. But if we have that experience, then we're automatically ambassadors. We might feel that we don't know what to say. We might feel really inadequate. But never mind, we're qualified and we have this amazing job that God has given to us. A month or so ago, I was sitting on Cherry Hill and some people came past and wanted to know what they should see in Ely, never having been here before. Which way to the river? Was it nice down there? I directed them and I told them about the antique centre and Peacock's tea room. I was qualified to tell them what they needed to know because I live near Ely and I spend a lot of time here. I'm not an official tour guide. I don't know everything about the history of the city. But that didn't matter. I knew from personal experience. If we know Jesus from personal experience, then just like that Deliveroo rider, we're good to go. Here in this church are a whole lot of ambassadors. What is the job? What is this thing that God has called us to do? Being an ambassador is all about reconciliation. When things are difficult between countries, in times of conflict, ambassadors are summoned. A diplomatic solution is sought. It's about working through problems and finding a way forward. Reconciliation can be tricky. Sometimes it seems to be beyond us, humanly speaking. At one time in my life, I had two good friends who, while they both got on very well with me, didn't get on with one another. I was always trying to negotiate my way around this, being careful what I said to one about the other, and trying to get them to see one another's good points. But it's not like that when we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Paul says that God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's not that we have to reconcile the two parties. We don't have to do any reconciliation at all. God has already done everything that is necessary. We just need to represent him to the world and to help people to understand that they need to be reconciled to him. It's like the parable of the prodigal son. The young man had taken the money that his father left him and he'd left home. His father hadn't done anything to cause the rift. And when the lost son decided to go back home, his father was looking out for him and he came to meet him. Jesus, of course, tells that story to show what God is like. He's there waiting at any time that one of his lost children is ready to make the connection. Paul says it's as if God is making his appeal through us. An ambassador represents the head of state. The ambassador to Cuba, whom we thought about at the beginning, was there in the name of the Queen, representing her government. It wasn't up to him to decide what he was going to say, to suddenly start up some diplomatic initiative on his own. His job was to represent the sovereign. So that's what we should be doing, allowing God to make his appeal directly through us. How might we do that? Well, for one thing, we need to be attuned to God and what he wants. We need to understand his kingdom agenda. We can't very well represent him if we haven't been listening to him and we're not close to him. The British ambassador can't work in a foreign country unless he or she communicates regularly with London and understands what the priorities are. So we need to communicate with God every day and allow him to communicate with us, listening to him when we pray, asking him which way he wants us to go. We also need to be consistent in the way we behave. If the ambassador represents his country, then he needs to display that country's values. We can't very well represent the Lord to the world if we don't act in a way that shows what he's like. And we need to rely on him all the time for the message. Remember, God is making his appeal through us. It's not us deciding what to say. We're promised that the Holy Spirit will tell us what we need to say when we're called upon to give an answer about our faith. So we need to wait for his prompting and remember that we're not doing this on our own. Back in the days of the Iron Curtain, a missionary known as Brother Andrew was involved in smuggling Bibles into communist countries. He founded Open Doors, of which I'm sure you've heard. He tells how, when he was a young Christian in his native Holland, he invited a very hostile work colleague along with him to a Christian weekend event. She sneered at everything all weekend, muttered under her breath about the speakers, showed no interest whatsoever. At the end of the weekend, Andrew gave her a lift home on the back of his bicycle, and he thought this was the ideal opportunity to confront her with her need for God. To his surprise, the Holy Spirit told him clearly not to speak about God at all. No, just admire the scenery. Andrew couldn't believe that he was hearing right, but he obeyed. He admired the countryside, he talked about the bulb fields, and he dropped her off at home without mentioning God. Next morning at work, his colleague was a changed person. She explained that she'd expected him to bring up the topic of her need for God on the journey home. And when he didn't, she began to think, does Andrew think I've gone so far that there's no turning back? Did he think I wasn't worth talking to? And then thinking about what all those people had spoken about over that weekend, have I gone too far? Will God listen if I say I'm sorry? Could I really start again? And so she prayed a prayer, a pretty funny prayer, she said, and asked Jesus into her life. That young woman grew in the Lord in a wonderful way. She started up a prayer group in the factory. She organized help for those in need. The workplace was transformed. The ambassador was listening to the way that the king wanted to make his appeal. If we're open to what he wants to do, if we allow his spirit to guide us, then we can be part of the heavenly ministry of reconciliation. So what is there to show for all this? When the ambassadors show others the values of the kingdom they belong to, when they speak of their king, then lives are changed. To be a Christian is not just to be forgiven from our sins. Paul says that if we're in Jesus Christ, then we're a new creation. We're completely different people. This passage begins by talking about the transformation which occurs in lives, and it ends with the same thought. If we are reconciled to God, then the most amazing change takes place. God sent Jesus to take our sins upon himself. Paul says, he made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And because that happened, because Jesus died for those sins which make us fall short of God's standard of absolute perfection, in him we can become the righteousness of God. That's incredible. I'm sure that when you were a child, people used to ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up. I can remember thinking that when I got to that time, I would somehow be a different person. It sounded impossible, but I could be whatever it was I currently wanted to be when I grew up. And I would presumably be able to do it because I would be a grown-up. Grown-ups know everything. Grown-ups can do whatever they like. Only when you actually get to the point of being grown-up, you find it isn't like that at all. You're full of doubts and fears and faults and troubles. You find many things hard to achieve. It turns out to be quite difficult to become what you hoped you would be when you were little. When we are a new creation in Jesus Christ, it isn't like that. We're not trying to be something that we are not. Instead, God, by his Spirit, is making us into something new. He's transforming us into the likeness of his Son, which seems astonishing. We become the righteousness of God, righteous in the way he is, holy, perfect in his sight, only because of Jesus. God sees us as a bearer of his righteousness. We can't earn that. Righteous in God's sight is not something we become by trying hard. By keeping the rules is something we are given through his grace. We started out thinking about how we get to be God's ambassadors. It's because we are new people in him. We finish by looking at this again because he's sending us out to appeal to others, longing for them too to experience the new life that comes from being reconciled to God. We pray that God will empower us by his Holy Spirit to bring other people into his kingdom. I listened to a podcast marking the 40th anniversary of the Falklands War. A young Falkland Islander was interviewed. She now lives in England. But she said, "I carry a piece of home with me wherever I go. It's in this necklace, Falklands sand. I promise you, it never comes off." We carry our home, the kingdom of God, with us wherever we go as ambassadors for the Lord. Our job is to represent him in every situation, to show at all times how the citizens of the kingdom behave, to speak and to act for him, to be his special agents in difficult places. This is the privilege we have as Christian believers. We go in the strength of God, filled with his Spirit. One day, we'll be recalled from our post. When we stand before the King who sends us out, may we hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.